How many glad to be here? Hallelujah. Amen. How many know I say it so many times? Going to church is not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. And how many know things we get to do, we look forward to doing? Things we got to do ain't any fun at all. So we get to be here this morning with you once again, and we're so thankful for our friends. I've said this many, many, many times. Friends are special people in your life. And we're so grateful for our friends through the years, the different ones that we have made. And this morning when we come in, we've seen some friends that we haven't seen in years. And we're so thankful that they came down to be with us, Bill and Linda Holton. The reason I remember Holton, our kids go to Holton High School. It's only about 7 miles from us. But it's so good to have the Holtons with us. We have fellowship for years. Down by Hudsonville, Michigan, which is just outside of Grand Rapids. And I haven't probably seen them in about 15, 20 years. And so it's such a joy to be able to come in this morning and see they made the drive over to be with us. They live over by Vicksburg, I believe it is. And so we're so thankful to have them this morning. But thankful for everybody that is in the house of God this morning. I say it so many times. How many know everybody is somebody in God's house? Amen. And so we're so thankful and grateful to be here with you this morning. I found many times if we'll come as a servant, I believe that God will bless. And so many times, you know, I think of even David when he took and he slew Goliath. How many know when he went down into that valley of Elah, he didn't go down as a warrior, but he went down as a servant. I mean, his father had sent him with loaves of bread and cheese. And he was to go down and see about his brethren and see how they were doing. And while he was there, all of a sudden, big old Goliath come out, and he began to say all kind of accusations, say stuff like, well, why don't you send out a champion to fight with me? And little old David, he wasn't there as a warrior. He was there as a servant. But how many know God used this little servant to become a mighty warrior that day? Amen. He wasn't even in the army. He was just checking on his brothers like his father had asked him to do. But while he was there obeying and being a servant, God took this young man and he used him in a mighty way. Amen. How many know you can't run from your problems? Eventually, one day, you got to face them. Regardless of how big they seem, how many believe that God is able to bring them down? Amen. Hopefully you got your Bible with you this morning. And I'd like to go to the book of Luke if we can. I don't know if we'll preach or teach. And I say that all the time because sometimes I start real slow and end up real quick. And sometimes I start real quick and end up real slow. But how many know it's the anointing of God that'll destroy the yoke? And I've seen it come many, many, many different ways. I've seen where preachers would hardly even move from behind the pulpit, and yet God would use them in a mighty way. I've seen at times, I've seen them run the aisles. I said, my goodness. And God would use them. And it's the anointing of God. I've said it many times. How many know there were 12 disciples, and they were not all the same? But how many know they had the same anointing of God in their life? And God used the different personalities and the different people that they were for his glory. But looking this morning, if we can, at Luke chapter 15, and actually it's a parable that Jesus told. And so many times when we think about this parable, we usually, in Luke 15, we usually think of one person. It's usually the prodigal son. But this morning, if you go there with me this morning, by the help and the grace of God, if I was to title this message this morning, I'd probably title it something like this, Seeking Savior. How many believe we got a seeking Savior this morning? Amen? Amen. Or I might even call it, Let's Not Lose Our Focus. Looking with me, if you will, Luke chapter 15, beginning here in verse 1. Thank you, brother. Then drew near unto him, speaking of Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and he eateth with him. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, he spoke a parable unto them. He was speaking to two different groups of people. We see here this morning he was speaking to publicans and sinners. Publican was tax collector. He spoke to publicans and sinners. And we also see that he spoke to Pharisees and scribes. People that felt like they were entitled. You know, that's a word that's used, entitlement today. Well, they felt that they were entitled because of who they were. So we see here that Jesus is speaking to two different groups, publicans and sinners, Pharisees and scribes. And as he spoke to them, and it says, and he spoke a parable unto them. He's talking here about one parable. I have found that a parable, it's a simple story used to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. And Jesus spoke many parables in the Bible. And he kept it simple so that the people could understand just exactly what he was speaking about. And I like to stay simple by the help and the grace. That's the only way I can be. That's what I am. I'm simple. I like to keep things simple. But that's what a parable is. But we see here this morning, it says, and he spoke a parable unto them. It's one parable with three subjects. So many times we deal with the subject of the prodigal son. But I'll be honest with you this morning, he spoke just one parable, but it had three different subjects. The first subject was a lost sheep. The second subject was a lost coin. The third subject was a lost son. One parable, three different subjects. It says, and he what? And he spake a parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. 100 sheep. But one got lost. It's amazing this morning. The one that got lost had been a part of the 100. It's amazing how God is concerned about that one that wanders off. We don't know how it got lost. But somehow, some way, it had wandered off from the fold. How many believe God this morning is concerned about those that have been apart, but somehow, some way, they had wandered off? Did you know that God has a heart for them? That God is concerned about that one that had been a part of the fold, but somehow, some way, it had wandered off and it got lost. And what does it say that this good shepherd does? He leaves the 99 and he goes out and he seeks after that one which is lost. Where? In the wilderness. How many know there's a wilderness this morning? Amen. People that have been a part of the fold can get out and get lost in the wilderness. This all right this morning?
Yes.
And he's concerned about them. And what does he do? It says that he goes out and he goes after that which is lost. Until when? Until he finds it. And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Isn't that amazing? The love that he has for the lost. And not only that, just the gentle shepherd that he is. When he finds this lost sheep, the word of God says here that he puts him on his shoulders. The sheep doesn't even have to walk any longer. There's such a love and such a compassion for that one that had been apart, but that had wandered off and got lost. And the gentle, seeking Savior seeks for him until he finds it. And when he finds it, with so much love, he's found his sheep that was lost. He puts him on his shoulders. And he rejoices. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Isn't it amazing how that heaven rejoices, that there's joy in heaven when that one that was lost has now been found? You know what? We can make heaven rejoice this morning. Maybe somehow, some way, you might even be sitting in the house of God today, but down deep in your heart, you've kind of wandered off. I'll tell you what, the Lord is concerned today about those that had been apart, but somehow, some way, maybe circumstances has caused that one to wander off. Brother Crowell, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a seeking Savior. And as the church, let's not lose our focus. Heaven rejoices. There's great joy in heaven. I like to bring joy to the Lord, don't you? Huh? David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We usually turn it around. We're usually the ones that want the blessing. But David wanted to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. One sheep that was lost, that had been a part of the fold, and now has returned. He's talking to two different groups of people. He's talking to publicans and sinners. He's speaking to Pharisees and scribes. And he tells them how that one that had been apart had wandered off, but now he was found by this great, loving shepherd of compassion, and how that there's great, great rejoicing in heaven over the one that had been found. And then he goes into another subject. And he says here in verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house? And what does she do? She seeks diligently till she finds it. And when she hath found it, she calls her neighbors and her neighbors together, her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God Can you imagine? Even the angels of God. Great joy. Over one sinner that repenteth. Well, we see a woman here that he talks about. She had 10 pieces of silver. And she lost one. I'll say it again. There were 10 pieces. Somehow, some way, one had gotten lost. And it's amazing how these 10 pieces of silver evidently meant a lot to this woman. I don't know what they were worth, but they were surely worth a lot to her. And one of them, one of the 10, got lost. And it troubled her heart. And it said, and she did what? And she sought diligently, a diligent search, until she found it. Because it meant so much to her. A piece of silver. I'll be honest with you. I kind of like things called barber quarters. I don't know if you know a whole lot about a barber quarter or not, but barber quarters, they were minted from 1892 to 1916. And I like to collect them. They're not worth a whole lot, probably somewhere between $7 and $10, okay, for a barber quarter. They're 90% silver. But I can guarantee you, I keep them in my office, which is actually my bedroom. I've got a little computer set up in there. And I keep my barber quarters in my bedroom. But I can guarantee you this morning, that I know my quarters pretty good, that are mine. And if for some reason one of them would come up missing, Sister Patty would tell you I'd probably turn the house upside down, at least my office, looking for that barber quarter. Because that barber quarter means a lot to me. And I would probably tear everything apart looking for it. And when I would eventually find it, I'd say to Patty, look, I found that barber quarter that I'd lost. You know why? Because that barber quarter means a lot to me. Well, that's the same way it is in the kingdom of God. We're precious in His sight. And if we have been a part of His collection and He loses one, it troubles Him until He finds it. How much is one quarter worth? Well, this silver coin, I don't know what they were, but whatever they were, she searched diligently until she found it. And when she found it, she said to her friends, just like I would say to Patty, look, I found that baby. You'd never guess where it was, where I found it. And I don't know how I misplaced it. Maybe it rolled off the table and rolled under something. I really don't know. But whenever I found that barber quarter, I would be rejoicing. And I'd want Pat to say, the way I'd be troubling her, I'd probably go, I can't find that coin anywhere. You know, I'd probably wear her out over my barber quarter. But when I found it, I'd say, honey, look, I found that baby. And you know what she'd probably do? She'd probably rejoice with me just to be over it. You know what I mean? Hey, folks, I'm not a fancy preacher, but I'm an honest one, all right? He said, that's the same way it is. He said that the very angels in heaven, There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Can you imagine how precious we are in the eyes of God? And how it hurts and concerns his heart when one that was apart gets lost. A seeking Savior will seek diligently until he finds it. And when he finds it, there's great rejoicing in heaven over that one. And then he goes to a third subject. I don't know if you ever noticed it or not. So many times when I have read this, I always think about the one subject. I think about the prodigal son. But it's one parable with three subjects. I'll say it again. A lost sheep, a lost coin, and now a lost son. You've heard the story probably many, many, many times. A young man, he came to his father. He said, Father, he says, give me the goods that I got coming to me. He said, I'm leaving this place. Well, I don't know why in the world he ever did that. Actually, he was a good boy from a good home. Actually, I believe it was a godly home. You say, well, why do you say that, Brother Crowell? Well, when you read the whole parable, you remember this boy, he goes out in the world and he wastes his substance with riotous living? I thought about that many, many times. He said, give me what I got coming to me. And the father, he had such love, he had two sons, he divided unto them his living, and this one that wanted to leave the house. I don't know why he wanted to do it. He thought he saw something better out in the world. He'd been a part of the house. But now the world had got a grip on him and drawed him away. He said, Father, I'm leaving this place. And sure enough, he took his living, and the Bible says he went off into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Substance. I found a lot of times substance is not just our money. I found sometimes substance is who we are. And this young man, he took his substance over into a far country that was far away from home. And he began to waste his substance with riotous living. He thought he was living it up, partying it up, and having him a great big old time. And his friends were helping him spend it and to use it. And eventually, the Word of God tells us, after he spent all that he had, spent it all, he didn't have any more friends. Isn't that about the way it works? Huh? Nobody cared about him. Oh, they lived it up with him as long as he had some substance. But after he lost all he had and after he was burnt out, well, y'all don't think I'm preaching, but I'm trying. Somebody say amen or oh me. Amen. After he spent it all, they all forsook him. Let me tell you something. You know who your real friends are? Run out of gas and see how many get out and help you push the car. Huh? You'll know how many you really have. But they left him high and dry. And the Bible tells us that he went to and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And of course, he didn't care much about him. All he wanted him to do is to work and to feed his hogs. And here this young man, a good boy from a good home that made a bad decision. I want to tell you something here today. Good kids from good homes can make bad decisions. And you can be a kid with a beard down to here and you can still make some bad decisions. And you know what I found about bad decisions? Bad decisions usually have bad results. A good boy from a good home that made a bad decision. Spent all that he had. He'd wasted his substance on riotous living, even the hog's food began to look good. Said he fain would have ate the husk that the pigs did eat. I mean, even they begin to look good, hog's food. But then all of a sudden, he started thinking about home. About a father that loved him and cared about him. He says, you know what I'm going to do? He come to his senses. He said, I'm going to go home. And I'm going to tell my father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. You know what? As he began to think at home, he even had this thought. His father was so loving. He said, even my father's servants have it better than I do. They only don't have enough. They've even got more than enough. Because his father was a father of compassion. That even the servants, he took care of them. And not only gave them enough, but gave him more than enough. How many believe that's a pretty good father? How many believe that's the kind of father that we serve in here this morning? He's not only a God that's a good God. He's not only good, he's more than good. He said, even my father's servants have it better than I. He said, I'm going to arise and I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my father, Father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he said something like this. He says, to the extent, he says, Father, I've not only sinned against you, he said, but I've sinned against heaven too. That's why I say he was a good boy from a good home. He'd been taught some religious principles. Because he knew down deep in his heart that he not only broke his earthly father's heart, he knew he also broke the heavenly father's heart. I've not only sinned against you, but I've sinned against heaven too. A good boy from a good home that made some bad decisions, but now he was making some right decisions. How many believe we can make some right decisions? Because this father that we serve is a seeking father. Amen. That loves us. He's talking to two different groups of people. Publicans, tax collectors, and sinners. Pharisees and scribes. Isn't it amazing how he could tell stories and still reach out to everybody? God, the God that we serve, is an amazing God. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And it amazes me how this God in heaven loves his creation so much that somehow, some way in our lifetime, he's going to try to reach out to us. You know why? Because he's a seeking Savior. I've not only sinned, he says, against heaven, but I've sinned against you too. And I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Father kissed him and hugged him And I like what he did. He told the servants were even going to be a part of this restoration. He says to the servants, he says, go. He says, and get the best robe. Put a ring on his finger. And shoes on his feet. And let's kill the fatted calf. For this my son, he was dead, but now he's been made alive. And there was great rejoicing in Father's house. Just like the parables he was talking about when something that was lost, that was found. I mean, they were having them a time. I told some of them one day, I said, they must have been Pentecostals. The Bible says, this is what it said, there was music and dancing. I mean, they was picking them up and laying them down. I mean, they was having them a time. How many know there's great, great rejoicing? If it's going to rejoice in heaven, how many know people that you know that you love when you're a Christian and maybe they've been apart and they're restored? How many know that brings great rejoicing in your heart? And especially those that were dead that have now been made alive. Great, great rejoicing going on in Father's house. And then it tells us about another son. Maybe we'll look at him for just a few moments if we can. Verse 25 of Luke 15. Now, his elder son, he was in the field. He was where? He was in the field. He must have been a farmer, probably out there working all day, a brother that had never left home. But I'd say this, you know, he kind of hung around the house. But not only did he hang around the house, but he was coming from the field. He'd probably been out there working all day, probably hot and sweaty. I imagine it gets that way down here in Indiana, don't it? Especially the farmers that work the fields. So he's probably sweaty and hot. He'd worked all day, and he was in the field. Now his elder son, he was in the field. And as he came and he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Boy, they must have been loud in their dancing. He heard the music and the dancing. They must have been really having a hoedown, huh? And he called one of the servants and he asked what these things meant. Hey, what's going on in there anyway, you know? I hear all this music and dancing and rejoicing. And he calls one of the servants out and he says, hey, what's going on? What does this mean? And he said unto him, he said, now thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now listen to what happens. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and he entreated him. Or in other words, his father come out, and he pleads with him. You talk about a loving father. Here this boy was. He was angry. He didn't want to go in and rejoice. Maybe a little bit of jealousy, envy. I really don't know. It don't tell us. But it does tell us that for some reason, he was angry. But yet this loving father, he goes out and he entreats him, or he pleads with him. And listen to what he said. And he was angry in verse 28, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering, he says to his father, he says, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said, all these years I've served, I've never left home. And I've served you all of these years. And he's talking back to his father. And he says, and you never gave me a kid or a goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Now, it don't say a whole lot in there about that, but evidently he knew about it too. The kind of, I wonder if maybe some of Job's comforters come around. Would let the family know. Boy, you ought to see where Billy's hanging out. Y'all know what he's up to. Just seen the corner we saw him on. Well, they must have been there theirself. But anyway. Because the boy knew. He says, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. But listen to what the father says. And he says unto him, remember he's pleading with him. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Right there is a teaching moment for a son that had never left home. What does this father say to him? Son, thou art ever with me. And what? And all that I have is thine. This boy didn't have the full understanding of who he was and what he was. But over a moment of frustration. I want to tell you something here. It pays to stay in Father's house. A teaching moment. Son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. Have you ever thought about that? How rich that is. But he didn't quite understand the whole concept of who he was and what he was. You know why? Because he lost his focus and got his eyes more on himself than what the Father's purpose really was. What a teaching moment. Son, thou art ever with me. And what? And all that I have is thine. Wow. You talk about heavy. That is heavy. To know who we really are in him. And I'll say it again. It pays to stay in Father's house. Listen, I've seen folk that have told me, they said, I've been a Christian ever since I've been 7 or 8 years old. And Brother Crowell, I really don't have much of a testimony like those that have been out in the world. Let me tell you something. People that had been out in the world, I'm sure this brother, he'd have told him, you don't know the pain and the hurts and what I went through. Anybody that has went through things in the world, and people will say, I don't have a real testimony. I've always stayed in church. They wished they could be just like you. I wish when I look back upon my life, I'd been a drug addict for a number of years. From the time I'd get up in the morning till I'd go to bed at night, I'd be high on some kind of a drug, probably mescaline or THC or acid or something of that nature. And I wish this morning that I could have said I never left Father's house. Gone through a lot of the things in life that I've went through, and I still fight devils over it in the mind, even though God has given the victory. And even though he still gives a victory, I wished I would have begun to serve the Lord at a young age of maybe 12 or whatever, and never left Father's house. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother, he was dead. Can I say that again? He was dead. He got out, and he lost all that he had. He died spiritually. He was dead. And he is alive again. And he was lost. And he is found. I've said this so many times. I believe the elder brother, don't tell us. But I believe the elder brother, he probably stood there for a few minutes and he thought about it and thought, yeah, that's my brother. What's the matter with me? Aren't you glad that God can change our attitude? Every once in a while he has to correct it. He knows how to deal with those that are out in the world, and he also knows how to deal with those of us that are in the church. And he probably thought within himself, yeah, that's my brother. He began to get the focus. And I imagine he probably went in with the father. He probably began to pick him up and lay him down too. Huh? When he got the victory over that self spirit. Is this all right this morning? The focus of the church this morning is about restoration and restoring a lost people back unto God. Whether they're in the church or out of the church. So much of the church world today, I'll be honest with you, we've traveled for years and years. And a lot of the church world today, the focus is on me. What's in it for me? It's not about us. It's about the kingdom. It's about being a servant. If you only knew what God allows his true servants to see and to be partakers of, you'd be amazed if we just learn to serve from our hearts. The miracles, the signs, the wonders that God can do for those that will have a heart for him and a heart for the loss, and that we'll seek them until they're found. God bless you all real good this morning. I hope that we've said, it might have been a little bit different, but I felt like it's the way that God wanted me to go. As soon as I began to talk with our brother, both of them, I got off the telephone and I began to say, I'm going to be in Middlebury once again. Lord, what way do you want me to go? I felt just like that. God says, I want you to talk about the three the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And talk to them about not losing our focus. Stand with me this morning in closing, if you will. Appreciate it so much. Have appreciated being here this morning and appreciate everybody listen. When Pentecostals get quiet, sometimes that's good. Because you know they're listening. And I don't know who you'd be in here this morning. I really don't. But I felt like God wanted me to go this way. And I've tried to obey the Lord in here this morning. This morning, if you'd be here and for any reason whatsoever, you'd feel a need maybe just to come and just to humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, help me not to lose the focus. Help me, God, by your help and by your grace to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, this son, he needed to get his focus back. Even though he hung around the house, he'd lost his focus. And the focus of God is to seek and to save a lost and a dying world. And there's great, great rejoicing when those that are lost are found. And I don't know about you this morning, but I surely want to be a part of that seeking, don't you? Seeking those that are lost for his kingdom. And maybe some of the musicians, if they could come back, if they're still in here this morning, and maybe sing something or do some kind of a worship song, I'd appreciate it so much. But for those of us that are here this morning that would feel a need, and I feel there are some in here today that would feel a need, maybe just to come and just to humble yourself before the Lord, I'd appreciate it this morning, and I know that God would. Amen. Because truly, that's what he wants. He wants a people after his name. He wants a people that are just like him. He said about David, he said, he's a man after my own heart. Did David have shortcomings? Sure he did. The Bible tells us about him. But one thing you'll find out about David is he never served any other gods but the Lord God Jehovah. Amen. Do we have faults? Sure we do. But I believe we have a heart for God. And we want people to have the same thing. There's anybody in here this morning that would feel a need to come, why don't you come this morning and just humble yourself before the Lord as they play, as they sing, as they worship, and you'd feel a need to come. We've got a promise from God. This is what he said. He said, if you'll draw close to me, he said, I'll draw close to you. And this morning, if you feel a need to come, why don't you come this morning? I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of the Lord. I believe that God has spoken to hearts this morning by his goodness and by his grace. Thank God for each one of you today that have come. Maybe today you might be here and maybe you've kind of slipped off, and maybe like that lost coin or that lost sheep. I want to tell you something. God is concerned about you. And you're not in here this morning by happenstance. I believe that God sent you this way. And if you need to come this morning as they sing, why don't you come? Hallelujah.